Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. This is Prophetess McQueen.
And Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom of Style broadcast. We're so happy that you joined us this morning. We know that God has a word for us, and we're looking forward to getting into that word. Before we even get started, let's go ahead and start with prayer and start with our announcement. Prophetess Crystal.
And everybody, once again, good morning. God bless you, and welcome once again to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. In the other announcements this morning, I want to let you know that every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10 a.m., join us right here for Kingdom Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me for Perfect Atmosphere that Thursday night at 7 p.m. And you can hear us live right here at www.ctkr.org. That is our website. Please take a moment to visit us on our website. As you do, you will get to learn more about us, myself, and Apostle McQueen. You will get to learn more about Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, as well as the missions, the sons and daughters that we cover that are over in different parts of the world. That's India, Philippines, Pakistan, Uganda, and Nigeria, and Kenya as well. And speaking of our sons and daughters, amen, we are asking for your financial support as well as your prayers, amen, to help us or help them, I should say, to continue the work of the ministry that God has given them. Our sons and daughters that are over there, you can see on our website, need your prayers. We have orphanages, we have schools, we have missions, we have many places, many sons and daughters that are doing a mighty work in the Lord, and they need all of the prayers, amen, and the financial support that they can get to continue. Some of them are actually doing ministerial school, they need Bible, they need Christian material and literature to continue teaching and training and equipping, amen, future disciples for the kingdom of God. If you go to our website, please, located on the left-hand side, there is a donate button. As you click on the button, we ask that you would place in that white box the information that you wish to give, how much you wish to give, and we'll make sure it gets right to the proper place that you have ordained your financial gifts to go. Amen and amen. Thank you for your time and your prayers and your financial support in that category. Also, men and women of God, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries has a faith page. Go to Facebook, find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or you could also find me, Women of Prophetic Destiny, under Women of Prophetic Destiny. Like us there on our Facebook page, amen. Also, as you're liking us, you can also send us your prayer requests and your praise reports as well. Amen. Let us know what you need someone to agree with you on, and we will make sure that people are praying and interceding on your behalf. The Bible said, where two or three are together in His name, He's in the midst. Amen. And we all believe that God is going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Amen. And those are the announcements for this morning. Let us look to prayer, and then immediately following prayer, we're going to have the man of God deliver the word this morning. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. As we come before you, Almighty God, we just begin to magnify and praise you. We thank you for another day, for this day that you have made. God, we thank you that you kept us protected all through the evening, allowed us to come into your presence one more time. Father, even now, as we come and we just begin to worship, as we come to begin to receive your word, Father, I'm in the mighty name of Jesus that this word that comes forth this day, that it will bring change in the lives of people, that it will bring change in the lives of your hearers. Not only will we be doers, but we will wake up in our minds to become hearers of the word as well, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, we ask right now that as we lift up our hands, our hearts, and our minds to you, we pray and ask, Father, for all forgiveness of any sin, God, all sin, sins of omission and commission. We're asking, Lord, for God to repent today, that we will turn from our wicked ways, that we will seek your face, and then you will hear from heaven and will heal our land. Father, we're asking to heal our land right now. We're crying out to you, God. There's injustices that are in the world. Father, we can't sit back and just watch the enemy do as he pleases. When you have given us your power, when you have given us your authority, in the name of the Most High, Jesus Christ, we can't sit back, God, and continue to watch things happen and sit with our hands folded and our eyes closed. Father, I'm asking that you would just begin to raise up a mighty army, an army of prayer warriors and intercessors, an army, God, that will begin to move strategically, amen, in the kingdom. I'm also asking, Lord, that you would give us strategies from heaven, that we will move in time and on time, God, in Jesus' name. We won't move out of emotions. We won't move recklessly. We won't move haphazardly. But God, we'll move right on time and in time with your kingdom assignment, your will, and your order in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as the man of God comes, we ask that you would just begin to crown him with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let him forth as the man servant this morning. Let's not hear him, but let's hear the Christ in him. Let us see the Christ in the whole glory. God, even now as we come, we ask that you would just begin to ignite this word. Let this word begin challenge. Let this word begin to shift and shake. Shake us out of our comfort zone, God. We're asking that you would shake us out of our mediocrity or mediocreness, God. We're asking that you get challenge us now. Challenge us to change in the name of Jesus. Shake our eyes, God. Let scales fall off our eyes that we may see, that we may rightly discern in the spirit realm, God, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just magnify, we glorify you. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. We thank you for where you're taking us. You said not for us not to despise the small beginnings. God, we thank you for open doors. We thank you for change, God. We thank you for open doors in other states, Father. We thank you that you're allowing ministry to come forth this day. We thank you for being able to produce in your kingdom. God, we give your name praise. We give your name glory. We give your name honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen, amen, and amen. Put those hands together and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Now let us welcome Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell him, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice.
And be glad in it. We're excited about what God is doing and what God is saying to us. We're working through some technical things this morning, but God is still good. Amen. We want to get into the word, and I want to just say to each and every one of you, thank you of all the places where you could be this morning. you're worshiping the King with us. Amen. Mm-hmm. We've been studying and looking at some things, and we've been dealing with this time we're living in, especially with the pressures and the situation that we're just viewed and witnessed with the verdict of the Trayvon Martin case. And I think what happens is as a race, we heard it too often, you know, the same circumstances, the same situation, and then the same outcome. And we as church, although we preach the gospel, we also have to have a gospel of peace in our, amen. And that means that even though my flesh would want to say and do other things concerning what we see in justice in those type of things, we also have to remember that the more we need him, amen, we need Jesus. So we need to work this out peaceably. And I know I'm not talking to those in the house, but I'm talking to those only, but I'm talking to those who are here, the word from around the world. And wherever you tune into this broadcast, you need to know that there are some things that we're just going to have to pray and walk it out. Ask God to help us with. Amen. Amen. Let's go into the word. We're going to James, the fourth chapter today. We've been talking about on the last broadcast, thank God for Prophetess Crystal, my wife, Prophetess McQueen, that she took time and we're broadcast, and we ended up in James the fourth chapter. And as I began to look at it, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and show me some things, and I began to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. Which way do we need to go? What do I need to say to his people? He began to show me these words. Let's go to the sixth verse. It says, But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Look at your neighbor and say, double-minded.
Double-minded.
Double-minded is a terrible thing, amen. And I don't think we understand what the mindedness is. He took the word to look at it a little bit later. Ninth verse says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves. There we go again, humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will. Not your friends, not your membership fee, not your denominational affiliation and what you politic to get, but he will lift you up. Amen. Bless the reading of God's word. It is here that we begin to look at where we are today. And I think that on both sides of this issue, we have been watching people stand up in their boldness and speak their minds. But the more they stand up and speak their minds, the more that they reveal that there's a pride that is going on in the land that leads to a great fall. Amen? A terrible thing as we look in the news. There was a man in, I do believe it's Port St. Joe, Florida. I was just reading kids
in the neighborhood were going around and playing and being an older Caucasian male, came out and began to use racial slurs against the children. One man stepped up and confronted him about using the slurs against the children, and the report says that the male, Caucasian male, shot him point blank in the face. Went back inside, called 911, told them what he did, finished making his dinner as if nothing happened. And then it says on the report that there was the Gulf County Sheriff came and arrested him, and he was surprised that he was being taken to jail. Because after all, these are his words in quotation, he said, "All I did, I only shot a woman." Now, when we begin to look at where we are today and where we were 50 years ago, with civil rights just starting and trying to get in, everything that went through, we went through similar things, amen? And when you dealt with people back then, we were proud as a people. We were standing up and saying who we are, and we're going to march, and we're not going to hate it. We're back at the same place today, aren't we? People today are marching and saying we're not going to take it. But there's something that we have to look at here. And the thing is that when we stand up, we're proud in ourselves, but we're not proud in our God. Then the enemy can take that and sway it any way that he wants. Jacksonville, another problem. Young man, 70 years old, sitting in his car and listening to his music. A white male walks up to him and says that this is loud. They get into an argument over the music, and then the 17-year-old, with Jordan Davis. And there's so many others that we can catalog. Thank God that President Obama on Friday took the podium and began to speak to the press corps and began to explain to them the difference between white America and black America. White Americans couldn't understand why we're so upset about Trayvon Martin's verdict. But as a race of people, we're not looking at a verdict. We're looking at set of verdicts, a set of inequalities when it comes down to the same law being applied to us versus being applied to someone of Caucasian descent. So we're standing in our ground, but we're going 20 years for warning shots. We're going 3 months. For defending ourselves. Young lady was being chased by a group of neo-Nazis, and they were yelling racial slurs at her down the alley, confronted her, boxed her in, cut her face, and she picked up a pair of scissors and defended herself. She got 41 months for defending herself, even after she had 11 stitches put in her. The laws, and these laws are not fair. So how do we defend bad behavior? We defend bad behavior when we are too proud to take down and say that this right here that happened is wrong for these reasons. When we stand back and say, well, the courts are justified and let everything be done, and then we sway the courts one way or the other. Any of you who watched the court case saw that the person, Zimmerman, was not on trial, but Trayvon Martin was. They attacked his character. They attacked his upbringing. They attacked what he was wearing. Yeah. The fact that he was a black young male walking through a neighborhood, which, by the way, his father happened to live in down around the way. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He had a legal right to be where he was. And yet and still, in profiling, we see problems. What do we need to profile? Because our pride tells us that we need to do something about all of this that's going on. Disproportionately, we watch this happen over and over again. So try the president address this and begin to explain it to us and let us know that this is a set of circumstances and situations that have happened. That's an incident. And if it's not just an incident, we have to be sensitive to those who have been victimized and then victimized again so that we can understand how to heal and move forward. Well, look at this. When we go into scripture here, we'll see in the very first verse, it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war and yet you do not have because you do not ask. You do not ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do the scripture says in vain, the spirit dwells in us earnestly? And then we get into the verses that we're focused on today. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So then that means that there's a lot of fighting and infighting, positioning. There's a lot of politicking and lobbying for each other's positions in a matter. We didn't hear anything as it related to gun rights or that until when it was a person of minority dissent. There was nothing from the NRA. But as soon as there was someone who could be perceived as Caucasian, we saw. Now, I'm not making this into a racial thing here, because Jesus Christ is King of the world. And that means if the world is just one race or ethnicity, then that means that he's God over that. You understand? But he is God over the world. He is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. So we're not looking at it from a racial standpoint. Amen? We're just stating a few things so that we can understand why people position themselves. Because one thing that we have to do in the church behind the sacred desk is we have to bring some type of clarity to what's happening. Otherwise, others stand up and make a definition or a defining moment for themselves. So if we don't talk about peace, if we don't talk about the fact that there's some issue here, then those who follow after us feel there's nothing wrong. There was a young man who, I do believe you're telling this, a young banker was standing listening to everything with his coworker. He was a black male, and his co-worker was Caucasian. And when Tom Joyner gave Rachel Gentile a full ride scholarship any place that she wanted to go, as long as it was at HCU, he looked at her, looked at the co-worker, and said, why did he do that? And he said, I looked at him and said, because he deserved it. And he had the puzzled look on his face, like, she don't deserve anything. We didn't do anything wrong. So when we begin to look at that, we start to see a swathing. And if we don't speak, then the puzzled look continues on our face. But more so, it continues on our face. Because in the light of what should be right, there's still no understanding. Amen. Look at what God says. He said, come, let us reason together. You see that? So if there's no coming together to reason together, there can be no change and no outcomes. Amen. The other thing is the spiritual side. Where do fights and wars come from? It comes from inside. There is a self-perception we have that tells us that we're right in everything that we do. It is that same right or self-righteousness that we pose when we come before God to deal with our sins, to deal with our life, because we look at it as if we are okay. You notice that I didn't say all right, just okay. The Lord understands that I have this problem. The Lord understands that I have this issue. He knows I have this shortcoming. It's okay. You know, I'm doing all right. Hey, I show up to church. I give my tithes. I give an offering. If they ask me to bring chicken this week, I went by the grocery store deli and picked up some if I didn't make myself. If they wanted me to make some cake or something else, or thank God for those green beans. I do thank God for those green beans. If it was something like that, I've done my duty. Amen. So who's overlooked? The Lord knows that I'm okay. And every once in a while, we use our behavior and our traditional behavior to excuse some things that we should have already worked out through our Christian development. Amen. I know I say it myself, because all I have been, I'm short of the glory of the Lord. Amen. So no one's excused from this statement. We all have some stuff that we got to work ourselves through. But I will submit to you that sometimes we use our Christian service as an excuse for indulging sometimes. Amen. Lord, you're just going to help me here. Woo, you know, I've been doing good. But forgive me once again. I know I'm not the only one who said that and has been there. And the Holy Spirit wants us to know that He will help us, but we got to drop the pride. Well, I'm not saying have no self-worth, because I can hear that being said in the mind that, are you telling me that I should have no self-worth? No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that in light of everything that's going on, when you have an answer, you never seek His answer. When you know...
There we go. Amen. There we go. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is that as we begin to look at this, as we understand it, as we see it, then we know that God resists the pride to the humble. So my question to you is, why not just humble yourself? Thank God for technology. While it's working, it's good. And when it ain't working so well, well, thank God for a technology that can cover for technology. Amen. Yeah. That's good. That's good. All right. Now, 6th verse says, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud. God resists the proud. Huh? Look what it says here, because we're talking about humility. We're talking about humility. Job 22:29. That's what it says here. It says, when they cast you down and you say exaltation will come, then He will save the humble person. So how come we can't see salvation in the land? Why are we lacking in the land? Why is there a disparity in the land? That's because We won't humble ourselves. See, humility brings about change. Look at the neighbor and say that with me. Humility brings about change. Look what it says here in Psalms 138:6. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. Well, they just don't know. I can't. If they don't look at me, they're going to see me for who I am. Yeah, they keep seeing you for who you are, but they can't see Christ for who he is in you because you keep getting in his way. So when we are watching and all we can see is you, you can't really demonstrate the kingdom of God, King. The power of the kingdom of God is tied to using the name of Jesus as he's given it to us, delegated the authority of his name for us to use. But we can't use his name when we're high-minded and lofty. You see that? So we have to learn how to come down, and do it according to what God is saying. Trust in him. Depend on him. Focus on him. That means that my thoughts, my ways, my mindset can do nothing for me to push, God's agenda. I have to do it by his plan. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly.
But the proud he knows from afar. So what is interesting here is that if we begin to look at this,
as we see it here, the proud he knows from afar. That's why there's so many different churches and ministries that have gone to a format, amen? And the format that they have gone through, the format that they have gone through has taken out the flow of the Spirit. They have done so because, you know, they can't really flow in the Spirit. So now it's one of those things where they have to program everything. We'll do three songs here. We'll stand and say something there. And then we'll do something here. We'll have our motto prayer here. And then we'll have a choir sing a song here. And then I'll get up and I'll preach with my opening and my 3-4 points. And then I'll give a witty ending to it. And depending on the audience, I may sing a little bit at the end. We're going to pray for everybody because the Lord loves you all. And then we're going to go home. And we have had church. Well, I remember as I came up, we used to set those same formats and programs. Holy Spirit come in and wreck the whole thing. Someone would get up and begin to sing their song, and as they sang their song, the power of the Most High God came in, and the rest of the program went out the window, but we sure enough had some church. And what I mean by that is that when we're allowed the Holy Spirit to still have his way, then we can still have some church. Amen. We can have a result to our gathering together. The thing is that, and I heard this say, we got to stop gathering just to gather. Just coming together so we can say we came together. Churches now have become little more than social clubs, but no power. Because in our pride, we have exiled out the Holy Spirit. So even though we can say his name, we don't know him here. We know him afar off. And guess what? He knows us afar off, too. That's why he says, but the proud he knows from afar. God resists the proud. So now you have something that looks like it's a church service. It looks like a move of God, but it lacks the power. You see? It lacks the flow of the Spirit.
It looks good, but it doesn't do anything for him. Amen? Proverbs 3:34.
Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. So that means that I don't have to say anything. Do you know that if I hold my peace, then God will speak for me? Look at your neighbor and say, you need to try that sometime. I know that's hard because, you know, we have been working on, you know, articulating our thoughts all of our lives. So, you know, somebody come around the corner. I watch young people do this. They speak to their hands. You know, so when they get going, they speak into their hand. I don't know what this little hand is supposed to do. Is it supposed to be the amen to what's coming out the mouth or what? I don't know. But I've been watching them do that, and it's interesting to me. But guess what? God has a way of speaking for you. Numbers, the 12th chapter, you heard me say this before. They had an issue. Let's look at that right quick. Numbers 12 and 1. It says, and Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses? Has he not spoken to us also? And the Lord heard it. Look at your neighbor and say, the Lord heard it. Now, the man Moses was very humble. And now this is the thing that I want to really share with you, that if you really want God to speak for you, then you have to remember something. If God is speaking for you, it's because you don't speak for yourself. But when you have a thing in your mind where you have to speak, God is silent. I learned many times when people are doing me wrong not to say anything, because I learned this lesson here. There are words that he can articulate that I can't even think of. His vocabulary is so much greater than mine. His thought is so much higher than mine. And you know what? When he looks at something to address it in his words, he's looking at the end of that thing before he receives it. Father says he knows the end of it at the beginning of it. Amen? Amen. So when we see this, I can take heart in this, knowing that if I'm humble, then when God speaks, he's going to speak for me. Now, let me point out just a few things right here. Miriam and Aaron were related to Moses. So it wasn't Moses' ability to lead that they had a problem with. It wasn't Moses' spiritual ability to see and speak with God that they had a problem with. What they had a problem with was something that was personal for them. Y'all see that? And here we see a prejudice in the Bible, because Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. So she was not of their descent, which means they had a problem with them. So when people try to justify those type of things, there is truth in the Bible that God is not down with that. Amen? Amen. Certainly, for first, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out here, you three, to the tabernacle meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. And he said, here now my... If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark saying. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed.
And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, certainly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow.
And Aaron turned to Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, please do not lay the sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried. Who cried? Who cried? So Moses, the subject of the ridicule, the subject of their talking, is the one now who cries out. You see that? to the Lord, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father hath a spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterwards the people moved from the Hezerah and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Now, let me just say something here. Moses being humble speaks. Not, but God, seeing him being humble, speaks for him. Look at your neighbor and ask them this question. How come your mouth is still moving? See? the problem is that we keep talking and God is waiting on us to shut up so he can start talking. How do you heal your land when those who should be speaking don't speak the right words? Huh? 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Simply says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Bring you back to that humility again. Why do you keep talking about humility? Because if we're going to deal with what's going on in the land, then we got to get humble before God. We have to become humble. You see, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. How are we going to heal the land?
Then all we do is come before him and ask him for more calm. Through the house.
Want my stuff. How many of y'all want your stuff? I want my stuff. Tell me, I want my stuff. I want my stuff. Okay, that was okay. Now you got your stuff and that land is poor. So you trying to drive your good car on Torp Street because nobody addressed the land. How about we address the land and then God will bless us with what comes afterward? See, if we have been redeemed back to our former state through the blood of Jesus, the second Adam has been successful. You see that? Then that means that the second Adam redeemed us back to our position in Eden. And given responsibility. You see that? So being given dominion and given them responsibility, our first priority is to the land. Do you see that? Go forth, be fruitful and multiply. You see that? Have dominion. Our job is to cultivate and build, not to take and strip. You see that? So we have too many people who are trying to do them without worrying about him. And what keeps them from focusing on him is pride. Let somebody challenge who you think you really are and see how loud your voice gets. Let someone challenge your position or your perceived importance and see how upset you get. Look at your neighbor and say, pride will tear you up. So we're not saying the right thing. We're not doing the right things. We're not focusing on the right things. And the land is in turmoil. It's my people. That means those of us who really know him, those of us who are connected to him, it's my people, which are called by my name. Huh? We bear the name of Christ. We are the ones who demonstrate the kingdom of God. We are the representative of Christ in the earth. Amen? And if we are the representative of Christ in the earth, then we are the people who are called by his name. But we are too proud. I'm listening to, looking at social media, and I'm seeing that people on both sides of this current issue that we're dealing with, depending on where they are, some people are saying, well, you know what, we stand by the verdict. And other people are saying, how could you stand by the verdict when there's so many things that are wrong with the verdict? And then the other side says, well, you know, it was his own fault for what he got into. And then the other side says, well, if it was his fault for what he got into, what about this case? What about this case? What about this case? It seems like every time that you come up with a reason why it's justified, there's somebody else who takes that same and overcomes that, but gets caught by something else within the same law, the same self-defense. So this isn't right then. Neither, if this wasn't right, this wasn't right, this wasn't right, this wasn't right. See, we're supposed to be Christian. The Bible says, see that you speak the same thing. How can we speak the same thing when what we're seeing is not spiritual, but natural? Y'all see what I'm saying? So I focus on this, not from what the Spirit is saying. Because the Spirit is saying, listen, I'm tired of you being on your own agenda and going your own way, and I need you to focus back on me. It is situations like this that causes us to focus back on Christ. Focus back on our assignment. Used to be that we were so focused on God that we didn't have time to worry about what else was going on. But then we had real power. You know, there was a time, and some of you younger ones don't know this because it was before your time, but there was a time when we didn't run to the hospital for every ache. We came to the church, and they prayed for us, and the ache and the pain left. That was back then, amen? Today, we go to the hospital for every little ache, and we get a new pill. Upon a new pill, upon a new pill, and all they do is they don't seek to heal, they seek to maintain you. Because you taking those pills, it's billions and billion dollar industry or pharmaceuticals. So now we have moved from the power of God to heal his people to the maintenance plan of the enemy who's capitalizing upon your sickness. That you don't remember that you have the ability to cast out. What is this? Oh, you don't know we have the ability to do that? Okay, well, let's read it for ourselves. Let's go here to Mark. Amen. Because you have to understand that 16 and 15. Let's go to 17. And it says, and these signs shall follow those who believe. You see? In my name, they shall cast out demons. Number one, stop running from stuff that spook and scare you and start confronting it in the name of Jesus. Right here it says, in my name they shall cast them out. You see that? I'm not scared of anything that comes knocking on the door at night because I know in the name of Jesus I can subdue the enemy. We was having a conversation with someone earlier in the week, and they said, you know, I remember when we was out doing street ministry. And says a man came up to us, and he was drunk, and he walked up to us, and he was preaching, and we all began to pray. And he walked right up and drew his hand back to swing, and his arm got stuck. He couldn't move for nothing. And we kept praying, and finally he started crying, and after he started crying, and he his arm fell down, and he started crying, and he just got saved. Because when he came in, that stupor that was on him was something that was causing him to come over and deal with them because of the gospel they was preaching. But when he came, the power of God, the angels around them arrested the man, and he couldn't do nothing. So back to the story of Mother, when we was up at Mother Boy's, and one of the mothers said that she had a husband who was he was an alcoholic and abusive. So when she would go off to church, whenever she would go off to church, the first thing he would do was say, you know what, if you go up to that church one more time, when you get home, it's just not going to be good. And she said, well, listen, I trust in God greater than anything else. I don't fear no man. I'm going to go ahead. She went on to church, came back from church, and he was sitting in his chair with the ashtray. She came in, and he picked it up to throw it, and his arm got stuck. And she kept trying to get it, but his arm couldn't get loose, and he started crying and said, please let me go. Let me go. Please let me go. I promise I won't ever hear that. I'll never hurt it again. And she didn't do anything. God did it for her. You see that? That man put the ashtray down after he got his use of his arm back and sat down. He said, I know it's here. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Went to church, got saved, became pillar of the church. You see that? That wasn't an incident that just may have happened. These are two people from two different states and two different times with the same testimony of how God can keep you. When you don't have the power of God, then you need to have all your armor bearers and everybody else with a sidearm walking up in church talking about this thing, somebody walks up in here, we got to be able to protect. Well, listen, if your pastor don't have no power in him, then maybe he do need an armed guard. All I need is the angels of the Lord around me. You understand? I know that that works. I know she works. You see that? So whenever there's an influence there, I have the answer to whatever that influence. In my name, they shall cast out demons. It's just speak with new tongues. Well, I don't know about that tongue speaking stuff. It sounds like a bunch of gibberish. That's because you're so much in control of yourself, you won't let the Holy Spirit speak. Let me just say this right there, because when the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks through his actions, too. There are nine gifts of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit himself operates. You understand? Tongues is one of the nine. That means there's eight other ways that the Holy Spirit proves he's here. We got hung up on Acts 2:4, and that's the only one that we focused on. But that was just him showing, I'm here. Okay, but then there's eight others that he shows up doing. You see? So we get to that later because that's just some clarity that needs to be brought right there. Amen? It will take up a serpent, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means harm them or hurt them. To take up a serpent means that you're going to have to deal with some snakes, or you're going to have to deal with some people like that, amen? Huh? Some situations like that. If they drink any deadly thing, anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. People will come with all their schemes, plans, trying to poison and destroy and kill you, but the Lord will sustain you and keep you even through that. Look at your neighbor and say, he'll keep you even through that. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. It will by no means hurt them. Look at this last one. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And that right there, from the 15th all the way down to the 18th verse, used to be the church's calling card. When you were really sick, we called for the saints. And we used to pray and God would raise people up. People who have had cancers and heart attacks and other things and died in our midst, and we have prayed and God have raised them up. This isn't an incident. This is a set of incidences where we got behind what God was saying and got out from behind our pride. Oh, well, I know what to do here. I went to school. Well, yeah. I went to school with hard knocks on my knees, and he told me that when I see a situation, cry out before him, and he will answer. He will move. He will do what is needed. So we've been doing everything wrong. The land is in disarray. And I close with this. Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways. Notice my people in wicked ways means that we have been dealing with our own agenda. We've forsaken our God. And he's calling us back to himself. This is a day and a time for revival. And we got to get back to revival. Oh, let's rest on our feet. He says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. We come to an end at this broadcast. Let's make up in our heart and our mind that we're going to humble ourselves and turn, pray and seek him. Let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this time. Lord, even though we're here and we're going forward, we know that the enemy is upset. That's why he works his best to try to make sure that even as we minister this word, that he comes in and tries to deter it. But God, you are blessed. Your word is blessed. And we thank you for it now. Even now, as we stand here in prayer. And we say, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We bless you. We honor you. You are God. You are King. We thank you. We bless your name. That will forgive us of our sins. Help us to focus back on the assignment. There's so much hurt in the land, and we're so focused on everything but that. Help us to go back to what is important, and that is you, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone who's not saved, Lord, that you would help them, Lord, to say these words here. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, where they may be developed and matured and go on to do the work that you've given them to do in the name of Jesus. We pray for miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest. Lord, we pray for those churches, those ministries, the schools, the orphanages that are under our ministerial cover. Lord, work every situation out. Make a way in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll find out more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom of God in the name of the Lord.